Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome back to Part 5 in our 12-part series entitled Biblical Economics. Today my question is, how does God feel about poverty? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." What does it mean to be poor in spirit? To be poor in spirit is to be humble, i.e. to be empty of self. So to be poor means to be empty of something. To be poor in spirit means to be empty of the spirit of self. So why are the poor in spirit blessed? God says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Why are the poor in spirit blessed? The poor in spirit are blessed because they are rich in spiritual things. That's what they are filled with, is spiritual things. They're filled with a trust in God, that God is more valuable than anything else. Now, what about the poor in material things? We know that blessed are the poor in spirit, but what about the poor in material things? Throughout history, God has called into His church many more poor people than rich people. Could that be because people poor in material things find it easier than a rich person to be poor in spirit? That seems to be the case God is making in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 26 through 31. This is where God says, "For you see your calling, brothers," and God is saying this through Paul, "For you see your calling, brothers, that not many wise men according to the flesh and not many noble people have been called. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the mighty. God has chosen things which are despised in order to bring to nothing things that are highly valued. God does this so that no flesh should glory in His presence." In other words, God doesn't want a person to trust in his or her riches, in his or her power, in his or her prestige or influence. God doesn't want a person to say, "This is what has made me, and this is what will sustain me." No, God wants us to understand that we have to be rich in spiritual things, that we should not glory in our own flesh, in our own accomplishments. That's why he goes on to say in verse 30, "The important thing is that you are in Christ Jesus, whom God made to be our wisdom and our righteousness." And what does that mean? That means that if we trust in God, that He will sanctify us, He will set us apart for holy use, that He will give us glory in the world to come, that we shall inherit all things with our elder brother, the firstborn from the dead, Jesus the Christ. So that's the important thing. That's wisdom, is to say, "No, I'm not going to glory in my flesh. I'm going to glory in the Lord." That's why it says in verse 31, "It is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." That's much more valuable. Even though people in this day and age look at Christians and say, "Man, they have some kind of hang up. This religious thing, this is just kind of a opium for them to keep them thinking about the by and by, about later on. Hey, I'm going to get mine now." That's what people tend to say. But that's okay, because in this life, people may have riches, and it may last for 70 years. But so what? What does that compare to 70 million years when we will have our riches? So let him who glories, glory in the Lord. And people who are poor in material things tend to glory in the Lord because they don't have anything else to glory in. Whereas people who are rich tend to glory in their flesh. They tend to glory in their money, in their big house, their fancy car, the notoriety that they have from being on TV, the influence that they have to be able to boss people around and make them run here and there and do this and that. That's what rich people tend to glory in. And so, yes, it can be a benefit for someone who is poor in material things because they are poor in spirit. We might conclude from that poverty is a good thing, and it can be. But then again, poverty can be a bad thing. And it really depends on two things. The first thing it depends on is what we've already covered, how the person relates to God and how they relate to their neighbors. If they're poor in material things, and that has led them to be poor in the spirit, which means they're humble and they're rich really in spiritual things, then that's okay. Their poverty has led them into a good thing, to glory in the Lord rather than in their flesh. That's fine. But if the contrary is the case, if they are poor material things and they still don't give glory to God, then their poverty is a bad thing. And if they put down their other neighbors because they want to raise themselves up, because they want to glory in their flesh, so therefore they oppress other people who are poorer than them or less fortunate than them, then their poverty is a bad thing because it hasn't helped them to glory in the Lord. And the second thing it depends on is why the person is poor in the first place. If a person is poor because of poor character, then his poverty is a bad thing. And the book of Proverbs is littered with harsh words against lazy people, people with poor character. In Proverbs 6, the 6th chapter, verses 9 and 11, it states, "How long will you slumber, O sluggard?" A sluggard is a lazy person, a person that's slothful, that's slow in things to get things done. And God is asking the question, "How long will you slumber, O sluggard? Your poverty shall come upon you like a prowler." Now, this prowler is a person that looks around for somebody weak so that they can take advantage of them, they can take stuff from them. Well, that's how poverty is going to be for a person that's a sluggard. Anything that they do have is going to be taken away from them. A person that is a sluggard is somebody that, instead of getting up and picking the fruit off of the vine, they just let the fruit rot on the vine. And then a person that's a sluggard, instead of building a fence around their yard to keep out intruders, they're slow, they don't put up a fence, and so the intruders come in and take everything away from them. That's the analogy and the picture that God is giving us here when it says, "Your poverty shall come upon you like a prowler." And then in Proverbs chapter 10 and verses 3 and 4, it reads, "He who has a slack hand becomes poor." A person that has a slack hand, that means that their hand is not really strong, it's not firm, they're not doing anything, they're a slacker, they're a slow person, they're a lazy person. That person that has a hand like that, instead of using that hand to work hard, they're letting that hand just dangle by their side. They're just standing on the corner, not doing anything, with their hands in their pocket. That kind of person is going to become poor. "And he who sleeps in harvest time is a son who causes shame." Instead of that person being out there with their father, working in the harvest to bring in the grapes, to bring in the oranges, instead, again, they're just letting the birds come and take the fruit. They're just letting wintertime come, and the fruit is still on the vine, and it just rots, and that causes the father shame. This is a shameful son. So God again says, if a person is poor because they have poor character, then their poverty is a bad thing because it's not leading to anything good. Now, given the right situations of good health and a good amount of time and good economic opportunities, and if God doesn't will it otherwise, then a good work ethic and a good business sense should lead the poor person from poverty to prosperity. And God backs this up in the scriptures in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4. It says, "The hand of the diligent makes him rich." This is a contrast to what it said before in Proverbs 10 verse 3, where it says, "He who has a slack hand becomes poor." Now in Proverbs 10 verse 4, it says, "He who has a diligent hand becomes rich." A person that really puts their hand to the plow and works hard all day to make an honest living, given enough time and given those good economic opportunities, given good health, and if God doesn't will it otherwise, this diligent person will become rich. They'll become prosperous. And he And in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, in verses 17 through 20, it says, "It is good for one to eat, to drink, and enjoy the fruit of his labor all the days that God gives him. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, and given him power to eat of it, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God." God wants us to prosper. He wants us to move from poverty to prosperity as long as we continue not to glory in the flesh, but to glory in the Lord. And now we can conclude that it is not inherently good or evil to be poor. It just depends on the circumstances. In our next program, I'm going to answer the question, should Christians give up all their worldly possessions and live in a commune together?
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org. Or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.